and open it up to Luke chapter 2. And the other passage we're going to go to is 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you like to follow along like that, that would be great. Luke chapter 2 and then 1 Peter chapter 1. Just by way of announcement, on the 22nd at 6 p.m. here at the church, Saturday before Christmas, is our children's Christmas pageant. So if you have kids in Sunday school practicing and stuff, you know all about this. But if you don't, you're welcome to come and see the kids and, you know, have that little play they've been working very hard on. So it will be a good experience for all that are involved in that. So we want to invite you to that. Then on Christmas Eve, we have three services. There'll be 2:30, 4 o'clock, and 11 p.m. I'll be speaking at the 2:30 and the 4, and Pastor Steve will be at the 11 p.m. So we got you covered for before and after dinner, and you can spend some time with your family, and you know, we're excited. Obviously, this time of year is what we're all about, right? About our Savior coming to this earth, so we're thankful for that. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for each person that's here. And we just pray now, Lord, as we spend time in your word, as we spend time hearing what you have to say, that not only would we hear it and interact with it with our mind, but it would impress upon our heart for us to go out and do what you've commanded us to do and what you desire for us to do. So we're thankful again for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in our Christmas series called Goodwill Christmas, in which we're learning how to be people of goodwill. What I'd like you to do is I want to direct your attention to Luke chapter 2 in verses 8 through 11. It says this, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" What I want to do is I want to focus in on the end of verse 10 where the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy which will be for all people. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. The scriptures have much to say about angels. If you've ever studied angels, you might realize this. In relation to God, they praise God. They worship God. They rejoice in what God does. They serve God. Angels are normally present during times of notable events. So if you look at the scriptures, you'll see during the creation, angels are present. During the giving of the Mosaic Law, angels were present. And as the scripture states today, in the first advent of Christ, announcing the birth of Christ, angels were present. One thing that we know about the presence of angels is they show up on occasions of joy. So you might want to say angels like to party, okay? They like to have a good time and they like to announce good news. C.S. Lewis says it this way, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." Joy is the serious business of heaven. Do you know, as Christians, we should be joy-filled? We should be joy-filled. It is God's desire for us to be filled with joy. As Jesus said in John 15:11, he said that your joy may be full. It is also told to us in the scriptures in Proverbs 17:22. The joy is actually good for us. Have you ever heard this verse before? A joyful heart is good medicine. That means that joy is actually good for us. There's health benefits to joy. So since we should be full of joy, and since joy is good for us, we should, as Christians, seek to bring joy to other people. So today what we're going to do is we're going to learn how to bring joy because that's what people of goodwill do. We're going to learn how to bring joy to others because that's what people of goodwill do. So the first way, the first how we bring joy is this. We tell others about Jesus. The first way is we tell others about Jesus. Isaiah 52:7 says this, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes salvation." Do you know what? Christmas is a celebration of good news, isn't it? It's a celebration of good news. Our Savior came to this earth in human form, lived a sinless life, and died a sinner's death. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. And the scriptures tell us this, all who believe will have eternal life. The mark of this season starts with the joyful message of a Savior coming to this world. You know what? We all have people in our lives that are not believers, right? We all have people, and many of them, when we discuss belief systems, the topics don't necessarily focus on Jesus, do they? They start to focus in on things like religion, politics, morality, whatever the hot topic of the day is. And you know what? A lot of those things are connected to what we believe, but they're not the core of what we believe. They're not the core of what we believe. And here's the truth. We can get consumed by discussing those other issues, can't we? Have you been, maybe some of you are thinking, oh, Christmas is coming. I'm going to sit with this family member or that family member, and they're going to bring up things that I don't feel like talking about or that we're going to actually argue about. So those things might be connected to what we believe, but when you start to discuss some of those things, it doesn't actually bring joy, does it? Sometimes it actually starts arguments. It actually makes things not pleasant. It doesn't bring joy. It actually, in sometimes, it does the opposite. So focusing in on the gospel message is what brings true joy because it's eternal and it cannot be taken away from us. Do you know what Jesus said in Luke 15:7? It says this, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So you know what Jesus is saying? Joy happens in heaven. Remember those angels who like to party? Joy happens in heaven when someone comes to know Jesus. And guess what? No one's going to come to know Jesus if your whole conversation is a debate and argument about politics, morality, religion, belief system. It's not, okay? But here's what the truth is. When we focus in on the gospel, it brings joy. Now, granted, the scriptures do tell us this. The gospel is an offensive message to those that are perishing. That means those that don't believe. Some people will hear the gospel message and be offended by it. But the truth of the matter is if they're offended by that, then that's something that the scripture calls for. That's something that the scripture predicts will happen. But you know what? The reason Jesus said all these things, the reason why he came to this earth is because he wanted to give us true joy. And the only way somebody is going to receive true joy is by receiving salvation. So in your conversations now, you have to think, okay, I'm going to talk to a lot of people this Christmas season. I'm going to have a lot of conversations. Where do I want this conversation to go? You know, for me, in my personal life, I have a lot of unsaved relatives and friends. And, you know, when I kind of figured this out some years ago, you know what? Don't talk about all the extra things. Focus in on what's important. Do you know that people respond differently when you're telling them about a Savior who loves them, who is willing to die for them, who is willing to go to the degree that no one else would go to for them? You know what? That's a captivating message. People look at that and say, I'm going to think about that a little bit more. But the truth of the matter is when we preach the gospel and they receive the gospel, they receive joy that no one can take away. Do you know that Jesus said this in John 16:22? He said, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice. And I love this. He says, and no one will take your joy away from you. You know, when you receive salvation, no one can take the salvation away. And no one can take the joy of that salvation away. Sure, you can choose not to focus in on it. Okay, you could be a not joy-filled Christian, but it doesn't even make sense. Because the truth of the matter is we have to look and say to ourselves, am I choosing to focus in on the gospel? And am I choosing to tell other people about the gospel? Do you know, this past week, many of you were involved in this. We had Night in Bethlehem. Faithful volunteers worked all week to set the church up. Volunteers dressed in costumes to host our community, an event that points to Jesus. Faithful volunteers came to clean everything up. You would never, if you just walked into this church today, you would never know what went on the last 2 days. It looked like a different place. But you know what? Every person that walked through heard our angel proclaim this message. And what we did was we weaved together Old Testament and New Testament scriptures for that angel to proclaim so that every person that walked through here heard a clear gospel message. It wasn't our words. These are all scripture. I just want you to listen to it. Just listen. Actually, you might even want to close your eyes and just listen to these words. It says this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. For he grew up like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." That's what this church is all about. That's what our message is all about. So we want everyone that comes through this church to actually hear that message, because that is the message that brings joy. The best way you can bring joy to others this Christmas season is by telling them about the love of Jesus. By telling them about the love of Jesus. And I know a lot of you will have a lot of interaction at Christmas parties, at family gatherings. You need to pray that God gives you opportunities to share the joy. Don't get caught up in all those other things. I know some of you really like to talk about those other things. Don't get caught up in it. Because guess what? You're not bringing joy in those cases. You're actually bringing animosity, arguments, and, you know, just ill feelings. Bring joy this Christmas. Tell them about the real reason why we celebrate. The next way to bring joy is live out your faith. Now, we all know this to be true. We should not only talk the talk, we should what? Walk the walk, right? Okay, some people say just walk the walk, don't talk the talk. No, you got to talk too, okay? Because that's how people hear the message. The scripture actually says that we preach the message. So we not only talk the talk, we also walk the walk. But some people talk a good game, but when it comes to living it, that's another story. So when you tell people about Jesus, guess what? They're watching you. Whether it's a person in your family, whether it's a friend, whether it's a coworker. The moment you tell them about Jesus, they're looking. They want to see. Is this the real deal? Is this something they truly believe? And some of you are even afraid to tell people about Jesus because you know that that's the next step, right? You know, oh man, if I tell them about Jesus, I better get that Christian fish off the back of my car. Because if I tell them about Jesus, they're going to know that I'm a Christian, and then I actually have to do something. I actually have to live it. In Matthew 7:16, Jesus said it this way. He says, "You will recognize them by their fruit." People will know that we're Christians by our fruit, by what we do. We're not saved by those things. Okay, never fall into the trap of thinking, I do good things, so God saves me because of my good things. That's not the gospel. It's through faith in Jesus. But when we do good things, people see those things. People see those things. Living out your faith communicates there is something very real about what you believe. I want you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Living out your faith communicates that there's something very real about what you believe. You're not just talking about this stuff. You're not just saying like, hey, yeah, this is good for me, you know. This is something that you really, truly believe, and it actually impacts the way that you live each day. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, Peter says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory." You know what that passage is saying? Peter saw the Lord, right? Peter interacted with the Lord. We have a lot of accounts where Peter interacted and saw the Lord. But now he's looking at this group of people, these Christians that he's writing to, and he's like, wow, you guys didn't even see Jesus. But you experience the joy that salvation brings, and now you're actually living out your faith. Do you know Peter could be writing this right to us today? Wow, we haven't even seen Jesus, but we've experienced the joy that salvation brings, and now we're actually living out our faith. You know what, this Christmas season, but all the time, but especially now this Christmas season, look for opportunities to live out your faith. Look for opportunities. It may be as simple as buying a toy for the Salvation Army toy drive that we're supporting and bringing that. I'm sure most of you have 20 bucks in your pocket and you can go over to Walmart and buy a toy and bring that. And that is a simple act of kindness that actually shows, like, I believe that this is important to bring joy to another person. Or it might be a little more difficult, because we know going and buying a toy is pretty easy, isn't it? It's pretty easy. But it may be a little more difficult, like treating someone in your family well, even though they do not treat you well. Now that's hard, isn't it? You have somebody at work, somebody in your family, a friend is not treating you well. And you're just like, well, I'm not going to treat them well back, because they treated me this way and I'm just going to give them back what they gave me. And you feel justified in that. You're like, Jesus, that's how they treated me. And Jesus is like, yep, I know. And you know how they treated me? They beat me, they spit on me, they mocked me, then they crucified me. And guess what I did for them? Died for them. So here's the thing. We don't look at how other people treat us and then respond accordingly. We look how Jesus treated us and we respond accordingly. Whatever your situation, think about this. Think about this. What is my response and what is my action? Does it communicate that I am a believer? Am I walking the walk? Will what I do bring joy to this person or bring pain and anguish to this person? Will what I do? Here's the thing. You're going to bring them joy if you walk the walk. And here's why. Because anything that Jesus told us to do is going to be good for the people around us. Anything Jesus told us to do is going to be helpful and good for the people around us. And guess what? That will bring them joy. You know, a part of living out your faith is the next way we bring joy, and that is praise God. Praise God for what he has done. Listen to Psalm 71:23. It says this, "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed." Now you might be thinking to yourself, how can me praising God bring joy to others? Well, it's simple. People around us see and know that we are praising God no matter what our situation is. They will know that our joy is not based on our situation, but it's based upon Jesus whom we're praising. You get that? So when you still praise, even though things are going bad, people look and it doesn't make logical sense to them. They look at you and say, man, you're going through a lot. You're praising God for that? They might even say things like Job's friend said to him, how could you even bother praising a God who allowed this to come into your life? So basically what happens here is our culture thinks that our joy is based upon our situation. We've fallen into the trap of thinking this, I can only be joyful when things are going well. I can only be joyful when things are going well. But that would mean our joy is based upon our earthly situation. But the scriptures tell us our joy is actually based upon our eternal situation. The psalmist said, I praise you because my soul is redeemed. You know, in Acts 16, there's this little passage. It's Paul and Silas are in prison. Many of you probably heard this passage before. But they start singing praise songs and hymns and praying. And there's a great earthquake and the doors throw open. And they could have ran out of prison, but they stayed because there was this prison guard there. And the prison guard couldn't believe that they stayed, but they stayed because they knew that if this prison guard had escaped prisoners, he would not only get fired, but he would get killed. So they stayed. But there's something interesting also that happens in that passage. It says that when they were praying and singing hymns, it says the other prisoners were listening. Just that's all it says. They were listening. They heard the praises. Doesn't really say what was going on in their minds, but I can only imagine that when they were sitting there in prison, they were looking at these men who got thrown in prison for preaching the gospel and saying, these guys barely did anything wrong, and they're being mistreated and thrown in prison, just like me, who probably did something pretty wrong. And they're praising and singing praises. They're praying and singing praises. The psalmist is saying, I don't praise you because my situation is going well. I praise you because my soul is redeemed. So he's saying, I come with joy and I sing. You know, music engages emotion, doesn't it? It engages emotion and memories. I mean, a song can take you back to a place, can it? I hear songs all the time, like from the 80s. I'm like, oh, that was middle school. You know, early 90s, I'm like, oh, that was high school. Some of you are like that, right? It engages. Well, that's why we sing in church, because it's a constant reminder of what Jesus has done for us. It's a constant reminder that our soul is redeemed. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it this way. He said, music will keep a fountain of joy alive in you. You know, tomorrow morning you might be driving to work and you're thinking, oh, another week, back to the grind. You know, maybe take a praise song, you know. Go on to one of the Christian radio stations or download some Christian music on your phone and listen to that and spark that joy. Oh, yeah, that's right. I have an opportunity to be around these people and tell them about the joy I have, to tell them about Jesus. Oftentimes, here's what happens. We look at the difficult situation we are in and we allow it to steal the joy that no one's supposed to be able to take, because we've chosen not to focus in on our salvation and the joy that comes. We focus in on our situation, and that's not how we should live. Praising God sets our focus where it needs to be. And let me just tell you this. Obviously, you're here, and I'm glad you're here. But if you've not come to the point in your life where you say, I commit to weekly worship, here's what I want to say. I hope this is a wake-up call. I hope you realize that today is the first day of the week. And today is the day that you set your mind on the things above to get you through the things below that you'll go through this week. If you're not in that habit yet, you need to get in that habit. That's why we're here. You know, some people have said to me this, and, you know, we put the sermons on our app and online and all different places on a podcast. And some I've had people say to me, you make it too easy for me not to come to church. And I'm like, well, that's not really why we do that. I mean, we want you to keep caught up and stuff. But here's the thing. I've also, for as many people that has said that to me, they also say, but when I'm not here, I still feel like I miss it. They heard the same content, right? But they weren't around other people. They weren't interacting with other people. Which brings us to our next way we bring joy is spend time with others. And I'm going to add this, real time, okay? And you'll see where I'm going once I read this verse. 2 John 1:12 says this. He says to these believers, though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. I can only imagine if John wrote this today, he would say, I could have texted, emailed, DM'd, or snapped you, but I'd rather come and hang out, okay? So my joy is complete. But the truth is, our culture has made it so simple, right, to maintain connection all the while disconnecting us from real life. And we know this is a huge problem, don't we? Okay? And if you don't know this is a huge problem, go anywhere in our culture, in a public place, and you see a lot of tops of heads, don't you? Right? That's what you see. No matter where you go, whether it's a restaurant, no matter where it is, you see tops of heads. For some reason, what's going on in here is more important than what's going on here, right? So what we need to do is we need to say, okay, how is this impacting me? Do you know recent studies have found that the more connected a person is on social media, the more isolated they feel? Did you know that? There's a study that came out. It was in American Journal of Preventive Medicine, a study of 1,800 19 to 32-year-olds reported that spending more than 2 hours on social media a day had twice the odds of perceived social isolation than someone who spent less than a half an hour. Now, okay, I just want to say this. If it's a study and they're like, yeah, I spent more than 2 hours, some of them are probably like 4, 5, 6 hours. They're on their device. They're on their computer. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. They think that, oh, you know, it's social connection, but it actually is making them feel more isolated. And there's so many reasons for that. But here's what I want to tell you. There's two things that we need to do in view of this. We need to limit our own social media for our own health. Okay, for our own health. If you don't want to feel socially isolated, limit it. Just don't tap the app. Just leave it alone, okay? Just go through life. I mean, it absolutely drives me crazy. This is a little rant, but that people don't spend time in real life and they spend more time trying to get the picture of real life to post it. Just, it, You ever go to a concert? All you see is people's phones up. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. In order to be connected. But really what it's doing is making us feel disconnected. So limit it for your own health. But not only that, make an effort to get face to face with people because that brings them joy. Maybe you know someone who, like, every time you go on Facebook, they're there. You know, they're there. They like everything. You post something, you're like, 30 seconds later, the person liked it. How did this happen? Think about this. Maybe you should reach out to that person and say, hey, you want to go out for a cup of coffee face to face? You want to be in the same room? You want to be in the same place together? That would bring them joy. They don't know that yet, though, because they don't know where their joy is going to come from. So what we need to do is we need to get together. You know, John even said that. I don't want to write this stuff to you. I want to come and talk to you. He could have written it. It could have went out to them. But he said, I want to be with you. I want to talk to you. The final way we can bring joy is speak kind words. Many of you have heard this verse before. Proverbs 15:23 says this. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Many of you grew up watching Mr. Rogers, right? If you're in your early to mid-20s, you remember Mr. Rogers, right? And looking back as an adult, you're like, man, the setting was low-budget public television. Nothing very exciting ever happened on Mr. Rogers, right? Nothing really drew our attention except for the fact that center stage was Fred Rogers, right? He came out and he did something that no other programs at the time were doing. He talked to us. We're like, I'm your neighbor? Yeah. Like, he talked right to me. And he said things like, I like you. You always make each day a special day. Why? Because you're being you. You're important. Your feelings matter. And of course, won't you be my neighbor? Right? We all know this stuff. Why were we watching this? Okay? Why? Because this man, Fred Rogers, seemed to care, and he actually did. Most of you know this. He was an ordained Presbyterian minister. He loved the Lord, and he really, truly cared for people. And he looked at the way of his life was, my ministry is to impact children that I don't even know. But they need to hear that people love them. So here's what Fred Rogers said about kind words. He said this, imagine what our neighbors would be like if each of us offered as a habit just one kind word to another person. Sometimes all it takes is one kind word to nourish another person. Think of the ripple effect that can be created when we nourish someone. One kind, empathetic word has a wonderful way of turning into many kind words. What Fred Rogers was doing was he was basically illustrating something. And think about this for a minute. Who are the people that you want to be around? Who are the people that you enjoy being around? They're the people that say kind things. They're the people that follow Ephesians where it says, every word, make sure those things build other people up. None of us want to be around those complaining people. None of us want to be around people that tear other people down. But here's the question. Then why be that person? Why not be the person that brings that kind word? Why not be that person that encourages other people? Guess what? Here's what happens. You bring others joy when you spread kind words, when you say things that are helpful and will build other people up. Guess what? You're never going to be an impact on the people around you if you're the person that's tearing people down all the time. It's just not going to happen. So kind words. This Christmas season, be a person of goodwill that brings joy by telling other people about Jesus, living out our faith, praising God for what he has done, spending time with other people, and speaking kind words. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've given us the opportunity to bring joy because you have brought joy into our lives. Lord, I know there's people in this room today that are struggling with different situations and their joy is being stolen from them or they're allowing that to be stolen from them. I don't want to minimize their situations, but I want them to know what your word has to say. Our joy is something that can't be taken from us, that you've given us that you love us and it's based upon our eternal situation. I pray, Lord, that we would each turn that corner and realize that so that we can bring joy to other people. There's people all around us, in our families, in our friend groups, in our workplaces that don't know of the joy that we have, Lord. Just please help us to be people that bring joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand as we close in worship.